We come to the 10th commandment in our study of God's holy law for his people. He saved us not to live for ourselves, but to serve him body, soul, mind, strength. Lord's Day 44, page 893. We'll just look at 113 this afternoon, which is a Bible summary, the Bible summary of the meaning, the teaching of the 10th commandment. The next two deal with more the broad question of whether or not we can keep the commandments. What is God's will for you in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest desire or thought contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in our hearts. Rather, with all our hearts, we should always hate sin and delight in all righteousness. It's a question of the heart and the heart's desire. Jesus spoke about that in the Sermon on the Mount. So let's go to Matthew 6. We'll read verses 19 through 24 of Matthew 6. Page 964. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is God's word. May he bless us by it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the final commandment, we come to a huge area of life. Mostly hidden, but a huge area of life called desire. Desire. Coveting is evil desire. And in this commandment, God is saying, I claim not only your outward life, your actions, your words, I also claim your inner life. Your thoughts, your feelings, your plans, your desires. I want all of you. I want the whole you. Not just the outside you that others can see, but the inside you as well that I can see. Desire. Desire is the most powerful force in human life. That's what God created to be the key feature of a life that's lived to the glory of God, is desire. It's the key feature of a life lived to God's glory, is your desire. It's that important. It's here at the level of desire that man as created is most noble. It's in your desire that you're most noble and you most deeply and radically imitate God. And it's also here at the level of desire that as fallen man, we're most uncontrollable and monstrous. The most powerful evil found in a person's life is in their hearts, in their desires. So in this commandment, God is cleaning directly your hearts. He does that in all the commandments, but now he goes directly for your desires when he says you shall not have evil desire. You shall not covet. So Proverbs says, above all, guard your heart, for out of it are all the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. That's what God's saying in this commandment. Guard your heart's desires. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Because everything you do, good or evil, starts with your heart's desire. Those desires are twisted through sin and lead to incredible evil. Those desires are transformed by God's grace in Christ and lead to incredible good, delighting yourself in the Lord. So above all, guard your heart. We want to see what it means to fight twisted desires. That's what God's calling us to do. Fight twisted desires. Not even the slightest desire or thought twisted away from God's commandments, contrary to any one of God's commandments, should ever arise in our hearts. And secondly, that we seek transformed desires. Rather, says the Catechism, with all our hearts, we should always hate sin and delight in all righteousness. First, let's remember that the 10th commandment is the one the Holy Spirit used powerfully to kill Saul of Tarsus. It's what Romans 7 says, and to convert him to Christ. It killed Saul as a self-righteous Pharisee, focused on outward obedience. I'm a good guy. I'm a really good guy. I'm better than most. He thought he was morally good and pleasing to God, and till he took a good hard look at the 10th commandment, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you shall not covet, and he realized he was a boiling pot of inside evil. Lust, greed, envy, hatred, pride, callousness, discontentment, arrogance. Every other evil desire lived in him, was boiling up in him. And he realized he was wicked and he needed salvation and he ran to Jesus. God used the 10th commandment to strike him down and rebuild him. And that's what Jesus is going after here in the Sermon on the Mount, the heart of the matter. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What the heart desires governs your whole life. What your heart desires governs your whole life. In Matthew 6, Jesus uses three images to describe a person's life. And he starts with the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are you investing? Your life is determined what lives in your heart. Then he moves to the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, the whole body is full of light. If your eye is bad, poisoned, your whole body is full of darkness. He goes from the heart to the eye. Then he ends up at your master. Who's your master? Is it God or money? Verse 24. You can't serve both. You see how these three images are connected. The heart determines the eye, how you look at people, how you look at your work, how you look at possessions, how you look at life, how you look at problems. So your heart's desires govern your eye's outlook. And your eye's outlook is governed by, third, who your master is, God or money. They're all tightly connected and they go in reverse as well. Who your master is determines how your eye looks at life. How your eye looks at life reflects on what's living in your heart, whether it's dark or light. So that's the question. Where's your heart? God is saying, I want it. To whom are you giving your heart? Where are your desires? What's driving your life? The Lord wants your heart. And He wants you to commit your whole inner life to Him. Every feeling you have, every desire you have, every plan, every thought, that huge area of life that's hidden to so many, is God's. He made you that way. That's the most radically deep way in which you reflect Him. Is in the area of desire, and He wants that. Give your whole inner life to me. He's saying, Jesus, there's really only two options in life. Either your heart's desires are aimed at yourself, pleasing yourself. And really, every false religion is really about self-protection. Loving yourself, self-protection. Either your heart is aimed at pleasing yourself, or your desires are aimed at pleasing God. It's the only faith, faith in God, in which you die to yourself, sacrifice yourself to God's glory. Those are your only two options. Either your aim, your heart is aimed at investing in the here and now, in your own kingdom. So you're going to talk about that. Focus on food and clothing. Worrying about the little things in life and putting all your energies and focus there. Or your heart is going to be taken up with investing in God's kingdom. Living for a cause bigger than yourself and this world. Your body is either full of darkness or light. Your heart. Either dark or light. It's that contrast in the inner life that the Catechism expresses so clearly, that not even the slightest desire, contrary to any one of God's commandments, should ever arise in our hearts. Rather, with all our hearts, we should always hate sin and delight in all righteousness. That there's this war in the believer's heart, which is opposed to every evil desire and set on every pure desire. Hates all sin and loves all that delights God. You see, when we were created, our desires were not twisted. They were just all went one way. We were filled with light only. Our hearts were directed and our eyes were focused on God as our master and pursuing His glory. And we had only one aim, and that was to please Him. To delight in His will, in all our thoughts and feelings, in all our plans, all our desires were wholly set on God. We hated sin with all our hearts. We loved God with all our hearts. That's how we were made. But the first sin, the first disobedience, was an inward act of covetousness. Genesis 3:6, listen. So when the woman saw, eyes, that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired. It's the same word as the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. That the tree was to be coveted. To make one wise. She took its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Eve's heart desired and even delighted in what God prohibited. And her eyes looked at it and wanted it. And her hand reached out and took it. And Adam was right there with her. Joining there. His desires were in the same place. Evil. And tempted by the devil, they handed their desires over to rebellion and pride. And since then, we are conceived and born with evil desires. Twisted. The seed of evil desire lives and thrives in every human heart, brothers and sisters. No one is exempt. We got that in the fall of our first parents. We were there with them, in them, by representation. We're born with twisted desires that oppose God and His will and drive us to seek after, to crave what doesn't please God and what destroys other people and destroys creation. But it all starts here in the heart. The Ten Commandments end where sin starts and where obedience starts, in the heart. Evil desire grabs the eye. And the eye directs the hand to follow after an evil master, Satan, sin, self. And that leads to every other sin. Your heart covets a family heirloom. Your eye looks for a way to get it. And the next thing you know, you're scheming against your siblings and you've started a family feud. We chuckle. It has destroyed so many families. Just coveting a silly little necklace started with evil desire. Your heart desires a woman who's not yours to have. Your heart's not satisfied with the spouse God gave you. Your eyes lust after someone else. And that leads to adultery. Your heart desires power and you look for every opportunity to grab more. And you start the next world war. That's Hitler. Started here. Your heart desires the neighbor's field. Your eyes look for ways to get it from him. And that drives you to lie and steal and trample on other people. Micah 2:1-2. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil in their beds. That's coveting, planning, plotting. How can I get my neighbor's field? This is Ahab laying in bed. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it's in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them and houses and take them away. They oppress a man in his house, a man in it, and his inheritance. Twisted. And it all starts with the heart's desire and in the mind, plotting and planning, and moves the eye to look at others for selfish gain. And coveting is always a sin that ends up destroying your neighbor. Seven times, did you know that? Seven times your neighbor is mentioned in the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his ox, or his donkey, his fields, possessions, or anything that is your neighbor's. Seven times, either directly as neighbor or by a pronoun. It all ends up at the neighbor's. Destroying another person. Like Ahab's coveting Naboth's land, destroyed Naboth. And David's coveting his neighbor's wife, destroyed Uriah. Started with coveting. Evil desire. So Jesus says, watch your heart. Above all, guard your heart, for out of it are all the issues of life. We have to fight twisted desires. We have to seek transformed desires, secondly. What is the need in this commandment? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. What's the need? The need is a new heart. Rebirth. Regeneration. A new heart from God. A heart where the Spirit of Christ reigns. A heart that's invested in heaven. A heart that directs your eyes to look at people and possessions in a holy way. Not in a twisted way. And a life driven by the right master. The right heart. A good eye, a healthy eye. And the right master. God. That's what's needed. A life of delighting yourself in the Lord only, all the time. a light of delighting yourself, a life of delighting yourself in his law, a light of delighting in his people. Listen to Psalm 16. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And notice what he says in verse 3, Psalm 16. As for the saints in the land, who cares about that? No. As for the saints in the land, they're the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I delight you, Lord. I delight in you. I delight in your people. And the third thing, I delight in your word, your law. Psalm 19, the commandments of the Lord are altogether true and righteous. They are more to be desired. There's the same word as the 10th commandment, coveted. Desire is not wrong, only evil desires. Good desires are your nobility. Are the highest way to imitate God, remember. So, the commandments of the Lord are altogether true and righteous. They are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold. That's the first thing we need. A transformed heart that desires God, his people, his law, to please him. The second thing the commandment requires is somebody to provide this. Lord, tear the heavens open and come down and give me this heart. We need somebody to provide a new heart for me and for you. How do you get the pure desire? How can you replace the evil desires? How can you feed your good desires? They can't come from yourself. For a bad tree, said Jesus, cannot bear good fruit. First make the tree good, said Jesus, and then it'll bear good fruit. We need somebody to make the tree good. And we need a new master. A new master, Jesus. Jesus is the perfect answer for evil desire. Do you know why? He stepped into our life of evil desire, our flesh and blood, body and soul. And Hebrews 10 says that when Jesus came to earth, he said, I desire to do your will, O God. His life was 100% pure desire, pure feelings, pure thoughts, pure plans, pure inside and pure outside. Not a hint of immorality, of impurity, of corruption at all. And he came to be that person of purity that we're not. And then he took upon himself all the impurity that we are and made it his own, legally. And he was crushed under the weight of our impurity, punished under God's curse for our sins. So he came to live the life of purity we didn't live, and then to die the death of our impurity that we do live. So that by believing in Jesus, the record is wiped clean. And we're declared righteous and pure in God's sight, even though we're sinners. Then there's another thing Jesus came to do. When we believe in him, not only to give us a new record, his purity credited to our account, but a new heart. By the Spirit, he plants in us the seed of his own pure life and gives us a new start. Transformed desires. It's amazing. That's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. It's Jesus, through the Spirit, filling you with Jesus. And when the Spirit comes inside you, fills you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that's the new life, the new heart, new desires. That's a heart, a mind taken captive by God to do his will. Of delighting yourself in the Lord. That's what we need. But even as those who have received this gift, by believing in Jesus, as long as we're still on this earth, The old self-will will still assault us, and the old evil desires are very ready to wake up and tempt us and pull us into sin. Evil desire is just sitting ready in your heart to be aroused and to spring into action. Whatever it is, it's just ready to roar. And we have to fight it. We have to wage war in the Spirit's power. See, here's how we think sometimes. I can fight against evil behavior. I can fight against evil tongue activity. But your feelings and desires you can't control. No, they just come. And the Bible says you have to abstain from the evil desires of the flesh, which war against your soul. 1 Peter 2. You mean, Lord, you want me to destroy in my life, kill even evil desires? Yes. So at the conclusion, I want to ask this question. For a few minutes, seek an answer to this question. How do you get rid of evil desires? How do you rather with all your heart always hate sin and delight only in righteousness? Even sinful desires. How do you get rid of the desire to hate someone? How do you get rid of the desire to commit adultery, the desire to drink, the desire to think highly of yourself, the desire to envy, the desire to pity yourself? You see, you think about what somebody has done against you, and a right desire might be angry, to seek justice, but right there's an evil desire waiting to pounce on you and overtake you, to become resentful and hateful. And that overtakes you instead. It's a war. Abstain from evil desires that wage war against your soul. Not just evil behaviors, but 10th commandment issues, evil desires. How do you fight them? I want to give you a brief fighting plan from Romans 13, 13 and 14. I'm going to read that. Romans 13, 13 and 14. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. How do you do that? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Now take a look at that, make no provision for the flesh. It actually means this. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and give no thought to the flesh to gratify its desires. See, the idea is more radical than we think. It's not just don't gratify evil desires, but don't do or think anything that would even arouse evil desires. Through the thought life, evil desires can be aroused. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't let any thought in your head that would lead to an evil desire, a sinful desire. Not just to gratifying it, but even to raising the desire itself. In other words, thinking certain thoughts can awaken evil desires. Let me give some examples. If you're bored or lonely or tired or discouraged or feeling hopeless, don't even think about the relief of alcohol or drugs. As soon as you think about that, that's likely to stir up evil desires. So don't let those thoughts in your head. That's what Paul's saying. Don't take any thoughts or give any thoughts to the flesh, to evil desires. Here's another example. If you're frustrated with your husband or wife for not being the man or woman you want them to be, don't even let your mind think about Mr. or Mrs. Perfect out there who could be better for you. As soon as you think that, that will arouse evil desires, not only to want someone else, adultery, but to despise the one God gave you. Again, thoughts fueling evil desires. Or here's a third example. If you've been wronged maybe 30 years ago, or you were overlooked or belittled or misunderstood or abandoned, don't dwell on these things in such a way as to enter into self-pity, because that will immediately arouse up evil desires of resentment and envy and jealousy and hatred. Don't let these thoughts into your head, says the Lord. One more example. You're having a hard time making ends meet and you start dwelling on how much of more of an inheritance your father could have left you if he was more careful. Or how much more your employer could have paid you. Or how much your parents could have given you a better opportunity to go to school. As soon as your mind goes there, that tempts desires of hatred and bitterness. Don't let your thoughts take you or rouse up in you evil desire. Be careful how you think. The other side of it is, don't let bad thoughts awaken evil desires. But you got to also do the other side. If you want to fight off evil desires, think good thoughts. And that's what Paul is saying here when he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 14. Let good thoughts about God and His grace and His power fill your life. Focus on the promises of God. Focus on the sinfulness and hatefulness of sin. Think about things that will arouse in you instead, awaken in you and arouse and strengthen and feed good and holy desires to delight yourself in the Lord, to love your neighbor, yes, even your enemies. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it enters your mind, how much change you would like to see in your spouse. Don't let your thought go toward who Mr. or Mrs. Perfect might be, which would arouse evil desires. But let your thought go to on how the Lord can change your spouse, pray for him or her, and change you so that you can be a better encouragement and inspiration to your spouse. Same situation, but entirely different thought process that awakens holy desires. And when painful memories arise, focus on how the Lord has been there for you and helped you through, and ask Him to help you to be thankful and not to let that event or person poison your soul and make you bitter, which would make you an ugly monster. And pray that the Lord will convert and change that person and in His good way bring about justice. Well, brothers and sisters, to obey the 10th commandment, we need the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ covering all our imperfections, all our impure desires. But we also need the Spirit of Jesus' perfect purity living in us and growing in us and feeding that through the promises of God and the power of God. And praying for grace to imitate God in the highest way possible with desire, the most powerful part of a person's life. Desire. So that you can invest your heart in His kingdom, in Him. When your heart is set on investing in Him, your eyes will look out on everything in a pure way, even the hard things, because you're devoted to one master, a good master. saving, loving, and powerful master. And he gives you pure desire. Amen.